Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, today on the broadcast, we're going to talk step-parenting and blended families, special attention to navigating the holidays. I'm Neil Stavem, great to have you along. Ted Ross at the controls, and Chris is at the phones. And Ted, someone has said, step-parenting is like working at a late-night convenience store. All the responsibility and none of the authority.
Yeah.
No, it's a hard one. And we're going to hear today from an expert. You know, we all have different parenting styles. Find the balance of husband and wife, not always easy and simple, and adding children from previous marriage just adds to the complication. But we're going to get answers, tips, principles, recommendation, advice, counsel, encouragement. We can go on and on.
But yeah,
all coming up today.
Timely with the holidays approaching, yeah. Too, and you never know what kind of blended family situation you're stepping into, yeah. Even if it's extended.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
And it's a very common reality. Laura Petherbridge is going to join us today. We're going to talk tips for the smart stepmom. And she has expert advice from one stepmom to another, so I encourage you to stick around for that. And just a reminder, that I came across this talking about parenting. Somebody said, when I was a boy, my mom wore a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. In a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of relate to that a time or two. A quick reminder, tomorrow, day one of our Winter Share fundraiser. We're looking forward to sharing stories of lives and families impacted and growing in their faith because of this radio ministry, and inviting you to join the team of shareholders or investors that make this outreach possible. So just want to give you a heads up on that. You can, of course, make your gift online today. That works for you, and we'd be honored to have you on the team at myfaithradio.com. Before Laura joins us, I want to share a commentary from John Stone Street today. It's a reminder that freedom to express our beliefs, our values, our faith can't just be one-sided. It's a helpful reminder.
Some claims to freedom apparently trump others. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Freedom is a two-way street. If you're eager to defend your own freedoms while taking them away from others, you got a problem. That's what came to mind when I learned recently that several major clothing designers refused to dress Melania Trump because they dislike the president-elect. Now look, they shouldn't have to design and sell clothes if it violates their conscience. But how many of these same folks approved or even cheered when Baronelle Stutzman or the owners of Masterpiece Cake Shop were threatened with being shut down for opting out of gay weddings themselves? If you support the freedom of some business owners not to use their artistic talents in ways they find objectionable, you should support freedom for all. Otherwise, it's a blatant double standard. Remember the golden rule. If upscale designers are free to refuse the Trumps, bakers and florists should be free to refuse gay weddings too. It's that simple. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
So coming up later on the broadcast, we'll be sharing highlights again from Angel Tree. It's a great ministry of prison fellowship. And we do that because regardless of what parents have done and the reason for their incarceration, the children are often caught in the middle, and they don't deserve to be penalized because of parents' choices. We're going to talk Angel Tree here at the end of the hour. I encourage you to stay tuned for that. And children are often sort of caught in the middle, too, when it comes to step-parenting, blended families. That's our conversation just ahead with Laura Petherbridge, who's an international speaker serving couples and single adults with topics on women's issues, relationships, step-families, co-parenting, single-parenting, divorce prevention, and divorce recovery. And she's author of several books, including 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, Expert Advice from One Stepmom to Another. We're going to address that today. She's also co-written The Smart Stepmom with step-family expert Ron Deal, and When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce, and also a devotional called Quiet Moments for the Stepmom Soul, and has traveled the world speaking and training. In fact, she's featured expert on the Divorce Care DVD series, which has equipped more than 14,000 churches worldwide. Laura, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to have you on.
Thank you. I'm honored to be back.
Well, so this is a season when we're all trying to figure out our holiday schedules and who goes where and when, and we're going to jump into that. But maybe just as a general kind of overview, let's start with one of the questions you address right away in your book. Why is this so complicated?
Yes, well, a lot of people, until they're in a stepfamily, don't realize how complicated stepfamily living is. And some of it is just numbers. There's more people. So you're dealing with not only mom and dad, but now you're dealing with mom and dad and who they are dating or have married, and all the grandparents or in-laws that come along with all of that. So some of it is just a numbers. Ron and I like to say stepfamilies don't have a family tree, they have a family forest. And so you're just dealing with a lot more people. But the most common reason is because all stepfamilies are birthed on loss. Now, some people get angry with me when they hear me say that because they think what I'm saying is that stepfamilies don't have love, that it's not a loving relationship. And that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that there had to have been a death or a divorce or a breakup of the couple in order for the stepfamily to even exist. So stepfamilies are birthed, are grown after a loss, and losses come with hurt, pain, fear, grief, anger, all kinds of emotions that you do not have in a first-time marriage. So that's the number one reason why they're so complicated.
And do those aspects sort of show up maybe at holiday times where maybe they would be kind of under the surface otherwise?
Absolutely. And that's for a lot of reasons. It's for the same reasons people can get depressed at the holidays, or, you know, that it triggers those emotions, the Norman Rockwell that we all wish that we had around the table at Christmas time, or maybe even wonderful childhood memories that we have ourselves and we wish our children had that, but they're now being shuffled between 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 homes. And so the complexities are so much greater because there's so much back and forth and co-parenting, and that triggers anger. It triggers a war over who's going to win the kids over the holiday, you know, who's going to get them Christmas morning. And so you have all of these factors that just make it so complicated and that can cause the tensions to rise. This can happen during any special event or special occasion, weddings and graduations, but Christmas in particular can really trigger all of the emotions and everyone can become tense.
Well, you speak from experience. You and your husband have had 30 years of marriage, but you have a couple of stepsons and 2 grandchildren. Do you remember one of your first Christmases and maybe what went well, what didn't go so well, or maybe what surprised you?
Well, I can go back even further than that. My parents divorced when I was 8, and so I first saw the stepfamily dynamic through the eyes of a child. And so I can relate to almost every seat on this bus because I knew what it was like as a kid to bounce back and forth between parents that were trying to co-parent and grandmas and, you know, more than one extended family home. My dad remarried 2 more times after the divorce from my mom. So I know what it's like to be the child and have step-parents. And I also then married a man with 2 kids, as you mentioned. We've been married almost 31 years. Next week it'll be 31 years. And so experiencing the tension then as an adult, and I foolishly thought that because I had grown up in a stepfamily that that would teach me everything I needed to know about how to be a stepmom. Well, that was just erroneous thinking, naive thinking, because there were so many factors of having stepsons, stepkids, that I just hadn't factored in. So, yes, some of our early Christmases in particular were some of my most stressful ever. I tease about, you know, I grew up in Western New York near Buffalo, New York, and it was pretty cold, similar to what you're experiencing. And I can remember thinking, oh, I'd like to just go lay out in the manger out in the front yard with baby Jesus because it's getting so tense in here. But, you know, it's just because I wanted my stepsons to enjoy those big Italian Christmases I had as a kid. And they already had their own traditions. They already had their family things with their mom. They weren't interested in my family traditions. I'm not related to them. And so that was one of the first things that was like, wow, they weren't being mean. They didn't care. They had no interest in my history or my past. So that's totally different than being a biological mom. Mm.
Well, let's take a quick break and come back and dive into maybe some of the practical, some key points to remember, some tips for the holidays. Mentioned traditions. That's certainly one of the things we need to work through, and we'll get to all that and more. And maybe you have a question today that you're in a blended family situation or just wondering how to handle it, or if there's been some tension that's come up and you'd like some great advice. Well, Laura Petherbridge will offer that wise counsel today. She's authored several books, including 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, Expert Advice from One Stepmom to Another. So you can find a safe place to ask your questions, and you can do that with a phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient to drop us a note, just use email by going to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link right there. You can submit your question or comment that way, and we'll talk more with Laura Petherbridge in just a moment on Connecting Faith. Declare that there was going to be peace on earth. Of course, we've been waiting for that since then. And if you're in a blended family, there may be times where peace isn't as evident as you'd like it to be. So we're getting some advice today from Laura Petherbridge. She's written among her books 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, Expert Advice from One Stepmom to Another. She speaks internationally, serving couples and single adults on issues of stepfamilies, co-parenting, single parenting, divorce prevention and recovery. And I've been talking particularly today just a little bit about navigating the holidays, one of the biggest concerns. So, Laura, let's talk about some key points, maybe some do's and don'ts. What are some foundational things that we need to remember for this season?
Well, the first thing is to, if you can, in your co-parenting plan, speak with the ex-spouse in advance. Don't make the children wait until the day or two before Christmas to determine what the visitation is going to be. Now, many people have this written into their divorce agreement, so sometimes it's non-negotiable, but it's the children that have the worst time is when they're wondering, where am I going to spend Christmas Eve? Where am I going to wake up Christmas morning? Is this going to cause another fight between my dad and my mom? You know, this is always a stressful time. Dad gets mad at the presents I get at the other home. Mom gets mad because I get too many presents at my dad's. It's all of that. It's talking through that with your ex, if at all possible. Now, I can hear the moans and groans across the nation as people are saying, but my ex won't work with me. So you can only control your half of that. You can only control how kind and pleasant and teachable you are during that season. And you cannot control the other home or their response. But it's important to attempt it, at least if you can, and to remember that kids they're not focused on which parent wins them for the holiday. You know, if you have to give up Christmas morning to bring more peace into the life of your child, then I encourage you to do that. I am not saying to roll over and play dead and never, you know, cause any, you know, bumps in the road and give your ex-spouse, you know, free rein to just do whatever they want to do and never go to fight for your kids. What I'm saying is don't turn the holidays into one battleground after another, because the kids won't remember that part. They'll remember the parent that tried to make peace with their other parent. And you may not see the fruit of that for many, many years, but I guarantee you the kids are watching and they are listening how you are interacting with your ex-spouse. And to the step-parent, let me say, let this be your spouse's job, not your job. The biological parent needs to be, in most cases, needs to be the one negotiating all of this. Step-parents, especially step-moms, have a tendency to step into that spot, and that often is what causes the ex-spouse to be more angry because she's dealing with the new wife rather than her former husband.
Laura, you mentioned traditions. Say a bit about that. And I was thinking even, too, in terms of presents. I mean, one maybe going to give more, others don't give as much. Talk about some of those challenges.
Yes, well, we live in a world of materialism, so this is a problem everywhere. Where this often shows up, the gift thing, is with in-laws. Is when, say for example, dad's mom and dad, the grandparents, dad's parents, maybe they don't view the stepkids as their own biological kids. Maybe they don't view them as important. So they'll buy their own grandchildren, you know, an iPhone for Christmas, and the stepchild gets a T-shirt. And so it's not so much you can't control what the other parent is buying in their home. But if your own parents are doing something like that that is bringing tremendous brokenness and hurt to the children in your home, the parent has to step up and go to his or her parents and say, Mom and Dad, you know, I realize this is hard on you. I realize that, you know, the divorce was hard on you. I'm sorry, but I can't have you buying my kids an iPhone and the stepkids a T-shirt because it's creating dissension within my home. That doesn't mean the grandparents shouldn't get to spend some extra time with their own biological grandkids. It doesn't mean they should have all of the kids all of the time. It's just when it brings these really huge, you know, wedges within the home that you've got to be very careful there. The other thing you mentioned is traditions. You know, at first I wanted my stepsons to embrace my traditions. Well, I quickly had to learn we had to form new traditions as a stepfamily and not fall on the ones they had before with their dad or before with their mom, but create some new ones as a family.
So
sometimes kids are receptive, sometimes they aren't.
So did you, in fact, do that where say, well, you know, maybe we'll come to your place the weekend before Christmas or the weekend after, but for Christmas we're sort of starting a new family tradition with our extended group here.
You know, every year it was a little bit different, and fortunately, my husband and his ex were pretty good about working through that and doing, you know, almost what the kids wanted to do. We were able to have them several Christmas Eves. So, yes, in many ways, to be honest, those traditions started to happen more as they got older. And then we would go together to cut down a Christmas tree and things like that. But when they're younger, you're just trying to keep the peace as much as possible. And so, you know, those were very small changes in the beginning and got bigger as the kids got bigger.
Is there I assume there's maybe a extra pressure to blend or at least to be, you know, appear that all is going well at the holidays? So I mean, I think all of us need to probably lower expectations a bit, but is that especially true in a blended family?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll share something that I'm sure is going to get me a lot of hate mail, but it's absolutely the truth. And if you ask a step-parent this privately, most of them, 9 out of 10, will say this is true. But step-parents generally do not love their stepchild in exactly the same way they love their own. That is a totally unrealistic expectation to tell a person, an adult, you're supposed to love this person's child, this strange child that has not been in your life for the first 10 years of their life. You're supposed to love this child exactly the same way you do the child that came out of your body, or the child that you know you had with in a love, you know, loving marriage. It's just unrealistic. Now, does that mean you don't love your stepchild? No, that is not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's a different kind of love. And it's a love that usually takes time to form. When you have a child, you normally fall in love with them in about 3 seconds. With a stepchild, it may take 3 years or 13 years before that bond starts to build between you and the stepchild. Sometimes it never happens, but in many cases, over the years, as the family builds and bonds, the average stepfamily takes 7 years before they feel a sense of bonding and a sense of family. So it's very uncommon that you're going to respond to your own child the same way you will a stepchild. Does that give you permission to be rude or to put them down or to give them less or to treat them as though they're an outcast? Absolutely not. But the emotions are different, and it takes longer.
I was thinking, too, that obviously, you know, husband and wife need to really be on the same page about, you know, values and parenting styles and just, you know, expectations as well.
Yes, that is. That's probably the number two thing that stepmoms say to me is, my husband refuses to parent or discipline his children. I'm looked at as the mean one. I'm looked at as the wicked stepmother because I want to set some boundaries in our home. I don't want to let the kids just do whatever they want to do. My husband refuses to set any boundaries with his kids because he feels guilty that they've gone through so much as kids. So that is a very common reason. As a matter of fact, it's the number one reason why stepfamilies divorce at such a high rate, is because of the factor of the children. And this is true whether the kids are little kids or grown kids, where their view of parenting or how to handle the kids is radically different.
Talking today with Laura Petherbridge. Laura is an international speaker and speaks on this topic of co-parenting, stepfamilies, single parents, divorce, prevention and recovery. And in fact, she's a featured expert on the Divorce Care DVD series, which has equipped more than 14,000 churches worldwide. She travels worldwide, has written several books, including 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, Expert Advice from One Stepmom to Another, talking about the holidays particularly. We will continue on just talking about some parenting tips in general, maybe some of the biggest challenges. What do you do when hubby is stuck? Why would a husband get stuck in that stepfamily? We'll find out a little bit more about that. Now, what would kids tell their stepmoms if they listened to them? We'll hear Laura's response on that as well. And if you were listening in, she mentioned that they have a wedding anniversary coming up here in a week, and maybe you're looking at a blended family wedding here this month. We'll get some advice on that, maybe before you say I do again. All that coming up. By the way, we do have an opportunity for you to join the conversation. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We'd love to have you join the conversation if you have a question or a comment. Or you can drop us a note, too. If you go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. And we'll talk more with Laura Petherbridge in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. Looking forward to celebrating Christmas. Maybe there's some tension or concern because there's a few extra stops along the way with a blended family. We're talking about it today. especially advice for the stepmom, expert advice from one stepmom to another. That's the subtitle of Laura Petherbridge's book called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. You can find out more about her writing and work on her website, thesmartstepmom.com. And she reminds me that she has a stepmom conference coming up in March. I'm going to talk about that in a moment as well. But she speaks internationally and has written a number of books and gives good advice today. And so one of the chapters in your book is entitled When Hubby is Stuck. Say a bit about that, maybe as it relates to, you know, the challenges around this season especially.
Yes. Well, the poor dad, he really, the poor guy, I really always feel badly for him. Because if he does what his wife wants, then his children and or ex-wife are angry with him. If he does what the kids and ex-wife want, then his wife is mad at him. So he really feels stuck. He feels like no matter what I do, which way I go with this, I'm going to make somebody that I love mad at me. And so it's one of those things that he wasn't prepared for 9 out of 10 times. He had no idea it was going to become this complicated. And so what men typically do in this circumstance is they either shut down and just become comatose, you know, they do nothing, which makes everybody angry, or they become angry and lash out at either the wife or the kids. So, you know, he really, really often needs help and encouragement and insight. I do life coaching with many couples where the dad is in this position, and he assumes I'm going to just side with the stepmom because I am a stepmom, but that's not true because I've been the kid in that circumstance. So I am able to see that from both sides. So he really needs to unify with his wife, and together they need to come up with a game plan. And that's the only way that is going to work, and it's the only way the marriage is going to survive.
Of course, when we're parenting our biological children, we're kind of learning and growing together. But in a step-family situation, that's not always the case, is it?
That's right. And the rules over in the other home, so you can't control anything that's going on in the other home unless it's illegal. And so, you know, what's going on in the dad and stepmom's home may be radically different than what's being taught over in the other home. And so it's a constant battle of what do we do when the children are hearing conflicting reports or ideas or truths or, you know, so this is nonstop, and it doesn't go away just because they get older.
What would kids tell their stepmoms if they were given that opportunity?
Yes. Well, the reason I wrote that chapter is I was actually speaking at a MOPS conference, Mothers of Preschoolers. And so there weren't a whole lot of mothers of preschoolers that were stepmoms yet because they typically tend to be younger. But what I did notice is all these women stopping by my booth and they would say, oh, I wish I could buy this for my stepmother, but I think she'd get offended. And so I started asking them, if you could say something to your stepmother without her getting mad or your dad getting mad, what would it be? And so I started taking those down. And so between what I felt as a kid and wanted to say to my stepmother and what those women told me, so some of the things they wanted to say is, I feel like I lost my father when he got remarried. That was the number one thing over and over, little kid, teenager, adult. It feels like my dad disappeared when he married you. Now, sometimes that's just emotional because they feel like, you know, now they're not in first place in dad's life. But sometimes it's true. It's reality. I know when my dad remarried for the first time, I saw him a lot less, and I never saw him alone. You know, we always had to include his new wife and her children. So I felt like, to a big degree, I had lost my dad, and so do most stepkids when their dad remarries. The second thing, however, is a positive thing. They'd love to tell their stepmother, I would love to like you or have you in my life. I think you're wonderful. I'm glad you're making my dad happy. But my mother will be so angry with me if I let you into my life, if I let you into my heart. If I let you into planning my wedding, my mother will be furious. And I'm not willing to sacrifice the relationship with my mother to embrace you. And so I wish I could tell you that it's not really about you, but, you know, it just is the way it is, and I can't fix that. So those are two of the key things that stepkids wish they could tell their stepmother and their dad, really, or their parent, their biological parent. But all of these things work for stepmom or stepdad. It's just that I get more stepmoms that contact me for help.
Well, as you said, it's going to take maybe 7 years or so for that blend to start really happening. So, you know, you're going to go through some seasons where it's a little more maybe lonely and difficult than you expected. Speaking of,
that's right.
If, you know, kids telling stepmoms what they'd say, anonymous listener wants to know, you know, as a child in a blended family, what can I do to show my stepmom that she's loved and accepted into the family?
Well, believe me, anything you do, she will appreciate, because stepmoms, in most cases, feel very outside the family circle. They don't feel they're a part of the family circle. And so anything you do to show her she is a part of the family circle, remembering her birthday, remembering at Christmas, Mother's Day is a huge one. Stepmoms typically hate Mother's Day, because they have all the work of being a mother and all of the chores and all of the labor and all of the sacrifices, but they typically don't get any recognition for that. And so Mother's Day is one of those days where it really shines, like, okay, I'm not really a mother to this child. And so any recognition on Mother's Day is usually very appreciated. I'm not saying there aren't stepmoms out there that are bad and that do a horrible job and they do separate the kids from their dad and they do some mean things. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I'm just saying that a lot of stepmoms would love to just have a friendship relationship with their stepkids. And so my heart goes out in a big thank you to this woman that wrote in. Anything you do like that, any note you write her to say, I know I treated you badly when I was a kid. I'm sorry for doing that. I want you to know I appreciate you and all that you've done to bring our family together. Thank you. So that's a great question, and I don't get it very often. And I've been doing this a long time. So thank you to that listener for asking that question.
Now, the listener is just talking about, you know, that oftentimes families are buying so many gifts for each other that there's no line. And we sort of touched on that, but maybe just say a bit about that. We kind of lose the focus of whose birthday this really is, but maybe that's especially challenging for blended families.
Yes, there's so much competition on who buys the best gift, we've gotten into this mentality that we show our love, and this is whether it's a stepfamily or not, but it only shows up more in a stepfamily, you know, that who shows more love by the bigger or more expensive present. And, you know, you can say to kids all day long, this is about the birth of Jesus, but they live in a materialistic world, so it's really hard to get that, you know, drilled into their heads. I'm a big proponent that more is caught than taught. And so by that, I mean, does your home exemplify the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season? I'm not saying shoving Bible verses down their throat, because I made that mistake when I was a young stepmom, that I pushed Christianity so much on my stepkids that it only caused them to want to run in the other direction. What I'm saying is live as Christ. Behave like Jesus would behave when you're in the grocery store, when that guy cuts you off in traffic, when you're paying the bill at the restaurant. More is caught by your children than taught. And so if they see you living in peace and Christmas being more about Jesus than it is the materialism, they're going to catch that by your behavior more than they are you preaching it at them or forcing them to go to a class or something. So, you know, I've been a Christian 37 years. And I've learned the hard way that using your life as the example is a way better way of reaching people for Christ, whether it be your stepkids, your family members, whoever it is. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, use words when absolutely necessary.
Laura Petherbridge, my guest today, she's an author, international speaker, and serving as couples and single adults with topics about women's issues, relationships, step families, co-parenting, single parenting, divorce preparation, prevention, and recovery. And you mentioned that you've got 31-year anniversary coming up here in just a week or so. So there may be some listening that are coming up with a December wedding as well. If you could say one thing to a woman about to marry a man with children, what would it be?
Make sure you get resources and attend events that are going to teach you and him what is coming. And don't plug your ears and ignore it. Listen, read, become prepared, buy books, attend step family events. Make sure you budget money in your budget to attend step family events, because you're going to need additional help down the road, whether it be counseling, life coaching. I'm not being negative. I'm not trying to put a damper on the wedding. The people that do the worst in the step family are the ones that refuse to learn what is normal and embrace that and then get help for it. So do that proactively, and your step family will be way better off.
Because this is, a stepmom's issues are different from a biological mom's, aren't they? I mean, there's no way around it.
No comparison.
Yeah, we ignore it at our peril, I guess, don't we?
Yes, and because it's politically correct to say moms and stepmoms are exactly the same, that causes the woman to have a false sense of reality, and the dad, stepdad, when they enter this marriage, they think it's going to be the same as how they parented their kids or what they thought parenting was going to be.
The new normal is, it's a new normal.
Yes, absolutely. And there are more step families in the United States today than there are first-time marriages, way more. And if you include people who cohabitate as a step family, the number skyrockets. Now, you wouldn't know that from our churches today, because very few churches have step family ministry. It is an untapped mission field. So to any pastor who's listening, you want to reach people in your community, start a step family ministry, and I'd be happy to help you.
Well, and as you mentioned, planning for some step family resources, you do have a event coming up here in March, right? Just say a word about that.
Yes, it's going to be near Orlando, Florida. It is a stepmom retreat. So it's for any woman dating, engaged, or married to a man with children. And you can get that information right on my website, thesmartstepmom.com.
TheSmartStepMom.com. Laura Petherbridge with us today, a speaker, author, in the book we've been referencing, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, expert advice from one stepmom to another. Laura, I always appreciate you and your good advice and your encouragement today. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy to be back with you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. And speaking of blended families, Laura has co-written a couple of books with Ron Deal, and we're going to hear a little bit from Ron from a previous Connecting Faith interview coming up in just a moment. Talking blended families today and holidays. Maybe you have a blending of families coming soon, or have recently done that. We get some advice from Ron Deal. Ron, of course, is founder of Smart Step Families, and you hear him on Family Life Today regularly. He's part of the team there about how to help your marriage reach its full potential. And he was on not too long ago with Joe Bender here on Connecting Faith, and talking a bit about parenting and marriage in a blended family.
You know, a couple in a first marriage may have grown up in homes where they had very different parenting strategies, where their parents parented them very differently. And so one may be a little more, harsh, a little more hardline about rules, and the other one may be a little more forgiving about what rules are broken. But when they have a child together, those two people kind of grow up into their parenting as the child is growing. And that gives them a distinct advantage. They get to figure it out together as they go, but they're clearly a team, and the marriage came before the parenting. In other words, parenting flows out of the marriage relationship. The child knows that. The parents know that. In a step family, you have all these things working all at the same time, but it's flip-flopped, right? So the couple's still trying to figure out how they're going to parent well together, except the children came before the marriage, and so marriage doesn't provide the foundation to the parenting. It's the other way around, and the kids know that, and sometimes they'll use that against the step-parent, right, and have more power in the family than even the step-parent does. That creates another problem. And then you have, well, this is the way we've always done it. My child and I, or my kids, you know, we've always had this pattern or this process. This is what we're used to. My kids are used to that. I'm used to that. Now you're wanting to change that. So they don't get to grow up in an environment as a couple, if you will, where they're coming together around parenting. They're battling all of those different layers all at the same time. And ultimately, that creates this insider-outsider thing where the biological parent and their child are the insiders and the step-parent is an outsider trying to figure out how to become an insider. And if the biological parent doesn't do some good work to bring that outsider step-parent into the parenting system, you end up being divided as a couple. And see, all of that complexity is what we call it. All of that complexity just makes it harder for the couple to have intimacy and a deep bonded relationship. And those are the kinds of things that catch people off guard that we try to help them anticipate in this book.
Well, it seems like communication is just paramount to being able to have a successful step family marriage. I know that's one of the categories that you measure in the assessment.
Mm-hmm. It is. Communication, you're exactly right, as is conflict resolution, right? Because they're trying to resolve these parenting differences and figure this out. We found that happy couples were 9 times more likely to resolve their issues, to have good conflict resolution skills, and whatever that conflict was about. And oftentimes that conflict is about something related to being a stepfamily. You see, here's another unique thing that we discovered. 7 of the top 12 stumbling blocks for couples in stepfamilies have nothing to do with being a couple. Now, let me explain. They have to do with their past or their stepfamily present. The past could be we have conflict around my ex and the co-parenting that takes place is I'm trying to communicate with the other household about the children. Or maybe it's about financial debt that I brought with me from a past relationship into this marriage. Or it's about the parenting and step-parenting dilemmas like we just talked about. Or it's about what kind of new parenting rules we're going to have for our household. Or, you know, so it's things related to being a step family that generate the conflict. You still have to be able to resolve it well as a couple. But there's that other, that's the hidden piece, right? It's one thing to know how to resolve conflict, but now we have to resolve conflict about kids or about an ex-spouse or about my ex-mother-in-law who still wants to see the kids at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so how do we work that into our schedule? All of those layers create the conflict. The couples just, you know, aren't sure how to manage.
Well, and do these conversations need to take place before the marriage? I notice one of the statements in your book says that newly married step-parents often feel duped. Explain that.
Yeah. Well, ideally, these conversations would take place before the marriage. You know, unfortunately, sometimes they don't. I say to people, whoever's listening right now, start now. You know, it doesn't matter if you didn't know what you didn't know beforehand, but now you're learning, and so now's the time to jump in there. When I say sometimes step-parents feel duped, it's this, based on dating isn't always a true picture of what life is going to be like after the wedding, at least not for blended families. And part of that's because of so many things that happen at a wedding. It becomes exceedingly real to the children that mom really is going to fall in love and this guy is now her husband. And now we have to share mom with him at a very deep level. And if he brings children, we have to share our mother with his children. And so the net result of that for a kid is I get less of mom, right? So there's a sadness there. There's a loss. There's adjustment there. And now I'm trying to figure out how to make room for my stepdad in my heart and for him to be an authority in my life. And I've got my biological dad who's still my dad and clearly wants to be my dad and in my life. So how do I make room for my new stepdad without hurting my dad's feelings? So all of these things are kind of converging at the point of the wedding and moving in together and now trying to figure out how to do family life. And so for a lot of step-parents in particular, the picture that they had during the dating season just doesn't end up being what real life is. And so they feel duped. It's not that anybody has set out to do that. Nobody's lying on purpose. It's just that life has thrown them some curves and they're not sure what to do with it. My encouragement to people is, hey, actually, this is all pretty predictable. If you read two or three of my books, you'll kind of get a picture of what's really common, and you're just living normal. It's just that you didn't know that. Nobody told you that. So you're doing okay. That's the point. It's okay. It's hard, but you can learn how to manage some of this stuff, and you can come together as a couple even in the midst of it.
Ron Deal talking with Joe Bender on Connecting Faith about the Smart Step Family Marriage. And you want to listen to that whole interview, you can find it by going to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. You know, for whatever reason that families are blended or separated, maybe it has to do with an incarcerated parent. Angel Tree allows the incarcerated parent to say to a child, I messed up. I can't be with you right now, but it's not your fault, and I love you and think about you all the time. And we're sharing stories of lives changed and impacted by Angel Tree. Your gift of $99 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Let's hear today's story.
The most passionate Angel Tree volunteers are those who have themselves been rescued. Do you know what it's like to absolutely hit bottom? Antonio remembers.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like daddy left them. Daddy didn't care about them. They were left back with their mom struggling because I cared more about drugs than I did about them.
Back home, Alicia wanted and expected nothing from Antonio. This was his 4th time back in prison, and she thought no power on earth could save him.
If you'd have known him 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. He was a very scary person. He was very violent and very selfish. And when God broke him, he broke him.
God visited Stateville cell T-235.
God came when I was in prison in Stateville in cell T-235. Is the first time that I met Jesus Christ. As soon as I got a taste of Jesus, that sweet, sweet taste of Jesus, is when I began just trying to serve the Lord. It's not about me at all anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about my wife. It's about my children.
Antonio and Alicia know desperation, but they also know restoration. Their pastor asked them to head up Angel Tree for their church. That first year, they stretched their resources and decided their little church in the middle of a crime-ridden, drug-infested neighborhood could reach out to 10 children.
We asked for 10 children's names, and we got them. And I was just curious at how many more children there were that weren't taken. And I was told that there were 75 other children that were on the list for Angel Tree, and no church had taken them.
We can celebrate 10 children being remembered, but we can't ignore 75 children denied. For Antonio, it was especially troubling. He knows what Angel Tree means to an incarcerated parent.
That's a very big thing in prison, to be able to fill out the application in hopes that some kind person, they're going to give from their heart. And that gift is not coming from them. It's addressed with my name on it. And Angel Tree is a worthy cause.
Will you partner with Alicia and Antonio in this worthy cause? Can you help bring Christmas and the sweet love of Jesus to 1 or 2 Angel Tree kids?
Good story, good word, good opportunity to make an impact, an eternal impact in the lives of children whose parents are in prison. $99 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their parent in prison. We invite you to go to angeltree.org to make that gift today, or you can find a link on our website, myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com, and it's opportunity that we have to partner with this great ministry, Prison Fellowship, during the month of December. So thank you for doing your part and sharing this way. Well, tomorrow we'll be underway in our Winter Share fundraiser. It's an invitation to stand with us financially, helping you learn, grow, and strengthen your faith. It's at the heart of what we do each day here in Connecting Faith. And we'll share some great stories, share a few highlights from previous programs, and look forward to hearing from you. You can be a part of it right now by going to myfaithradio.com and making your gift today. It's safe, secure, and easy online. And you can also find more about our ministry by checking out our show page.